you're not careful and no clip out of reality in wrong areas, you'll end up in the back rooms, where it's nothing but the stink of moist carpet, the madness of mono yellow, and endless background noise of fluorescent lights at maximum humbuzz, and approximately 600 million square miles of randomly segmented empty rooms to be trapped in. God save you if you hear something wandering around nearby, because it sure as hell has heard you. Welcome back to Tiny Terror, the podcast where we cover everything spine chilling and mind thrilling. I'm your host, Sigra. What you heard before the intro music was the creepypasta known as the Backrooms via the Backrooms wiki page. So the Backrooms started as a creepypasta in 2019 on 4chan, of course, where all the good creepypastas originate, inspired by an eerie picture of what seems to be an abandoned office space. The story that surrounds it is that it's essentially this glitch in the system that you can no-clip in and out of. For those who do not play video games, such as myself, no-clipping refers to when your playable character moves through objects that are supposed to be solid, like the ground or walls of buildings. Some say you can also access the back room through your dreams. There's plenty of lore surrounding the back room. There are three-ish agreed-upon levels, and some say there's more or less, but let me just give you a brief overview. These are the supposed levels as described on Nick Crowley's YouTube channel, shout out. So in level zero, you enter this famous mass of identical yellowing rooms. Many supposedly perish here because they lose their minds or they encounter something. The supposed creatures that inhabit this level are called hounds, and they are humanoid creatures that walk around on all fours, and I don't know what happens if they catch up to you, but supposedly it's bad. There is a way out. If you find a wall slightly darker than the surrounding ones, it may also be no-clipped and you can exit back into common reality. However, this is a gamble because it could also take you deeper into the back rooms and to level one. It's unknown exactly how you get to level one. Some believe it's a door or a hallway or an elevator. Some believe it happens more subtly as you delve deeper into the maze, but essentially what happens is the walls and floors become concrete rather than yellowed wallpaper and carpet, and the lights flicker on and off, and even more dangerous creatures appear. As far as I can tell, the only difference between level zero and level one is the lighting or lack thereof. And then if you reach level two, the walls begin to narrow and change until you're walking down essentially hallways and it gets very hot. And then there are even more hostile beings from which your only chance of survival is to run without looking over your shoulder. That is some of the extended lore of the Backrooms creepypasta that you can find, but personally, I think the Backrooms creepypasta is unique and one of the most effective due to its ambiguity. The fear comes from the lack or the potential of something being in the backrooms with you. It's kind of like how the Blair Witch Project is 20 times scarier because you never actually see the witch. Similarly to the shitty 2016 sequel to Blair Witch, or the inclusion of the concept of midichlorians in the Star Wars prequels, the lore extensions to the backrooms people have created are creative, but ultimately, in my opinion, detract from the delicious negative space with which an audience's imagination can run wild. Basically, in this case, less is more. The backrooms are just one example of the larger phenomenon of liminal spaces. Liminal spaces are eerie, offsetting spaces that feel at once familiar and foreign. They often consist of transitional spaces at times of day or in contexts we would not associate them with. Solar Sands on YouTube has a really good video from which I am going to be taking a lot of my talking points, so go check him out. If we deconstruct the word liminal, we find it is derived from the Latin limen or limen, meaning threshold, which is congruent with what we've just discussed about liminal spaces being places of transition. Liminal spaces oftentimes share attributes such as being devoid of people, being atmospheric, lacking a focus point, and the use of unnatural or fluorescent lighting, such as empty office spaces, playgrounds at nighttime, rest stops off the highway, schools after classes have ended, empty malls, bonus points if the decor dates from the late 90s or early aughts. You get the idea. These are commonly agreed upon liminal spaces because they are divorced from the context in which they are designed to function. a school without kids is creepy. We never consider a playground at night unless you're any teenager who wants to smoke pot and make out on a Saturday night. We do not think about rest stops off the highway as even existing, except when we're 4 hours into a family vacation and you really have to pee and everyone's pissed at you because god damn it, we just stopped for gas. Like, why didn't you go then? And you're like, well, because I didn't have to go then. Anyway. There's a subtle but important difference between liminal space images and straight-up cursed images, like that doll whose belly is filled up with guacamole, or that weird subgenre of photo where unappealing-looking foods are placed in uncomfortable places, like a pair of Crocs filled with baked beans, or a bunch of spaghetti filled into a lava lamp. The difference here, in my opinion, is that cursed images rely on chaos and unpredictability to create uncomfortability, whereas liminal spaces rely on familiarity. They're two sides of the same coin and share similar attributes, such as the use of poor lighting and bad image quality. Our brains are hungry for context, so when that context is stripped away, we go wildly searching for it. Our monkey brains just love patterns. I think it's also very interesting to note that it's really hard to come up with a liminal place in nature, because the liminality of eerie spaces comes from the context of design and viewing it outside of its designated context. Since nature is not designed and has no context, our brains are not wired to find it eerie. The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows has a couple terms that are useful when talking about liminal spaces. The first, kenopsia, means the eeriness of places left behind and perfectly explains the feeling one might get looking at an abandoned Wendy's. The second term, anomoia, means nostalgia for a time you've never known and is also a common term used by Redditors and such to describe the feeling one gets looking at these liminal space photos. The phenomenon of liminal spaces seems to particularly affect people around my age, give or take, say, 10 years, as it is often focused around familiar designs of the late 90s and early aughts, the time we were kids. Certainly, there are examples utilizing earlier aesthetics. I think of Route 66 diners for some reason, but they're not as prevalent online. Some liminal spaces are even completely digitally constructed. They often bear resemblance to the color schemes used in children's cartoons or familiar backgrounds from old school Windows applications. Another note I want to make is that with the prevalence of American media across the world, we often see American liminal spaces as the norm, but they exist in other cultures as well. YouTuber Emma Kay has a great compilation of liminal spaces that might be relatable to people with Russian or Soviet childhood experiences. The ones that I saw from this video did not elicit the same reaction for me as an American, but they certainly are eerie and lonely seeming. That feeling of liminality has been achieved in art, too. If you are familiar with the artist John Register, he often paints these big empty spaces with one or two chairs or other pieces of furniture and completely devoid of people. A couple other examples that come to mind are David Lynch's use of the Red Room in Twin Peaks and Edward Hopper's Nighthawks. Though both of these examples can contain people, I still think the setting is very liminally evocative. So, what do I think the backrooms are? Are they a glitch in the simulation into which we noclip randomly? Are they another dimension we've all dreamt about? An example of reincarnation? No, I think our memory and subconscious is a big black void into which shit falls willy-nilly and isn't stored accessibly all the time. The backrooms and other liminal spaces just happen to trigger memories our subconscious has deemed unimportant or unnecessary for everyday life. Thank you so much again for listening to this episode of Tiny Terror. If you liked it, tell a friend. Or if you have like 2 extra minutes, you can go on Apple Podcasts and rate and review. That is the easiest, most effective way to get this podcast noticed by other listeners and potential advertisers. And if you want to support me and my projects, you can subscribe to my Patreon. I only have 1 tier currently. It's $3, and you can get exclusive behind-the-scenes content for this and other projects. If you don't want to commit to that, or if you're not interested in any of my other projects besides this, you can give me a one-time donation on Ko-Fi. Basically, you can buy me a coffee if you like what I do. If you want to keep up with this podcast, make sure to follow it on Instagram at @TinyTerrorPodcast and me at @_Sigra and on Twitter at @SirSigra. Thank you so much again. I really look forward to talking to you next week, and I still don't have a sign-off phrase, so I will just say cheers.
this is a Salon de Refuse production. One person's trash is another person's cool trash.